Chapter 30. All is revealed to Nettlebrand.
Spit! Snapped Nettlebrand. Go on, spit, you useless dwarf!
Tail twitching, he was sitting among the dunes, surrounded by the mountains of sand from which Gravelbeard had finally freed him. It was lucky for Nettlebrand that mountain dwarves are good at digging. With difficulty, Gravelbeard collected a little saliva in his dry mouth, pursed his lips, and spat into the bowl he had carved from the cactus that Nettlebrand had incautiously tried to eat.
"It's not going to work, your goldness," he said fretfully. "Look, the sun's going to roast us alive before we have enough liquid in this thing here. Spit!"
Nettlebrand growled and contributed a pool of bright green saliva himself.
"Wow!"
Gravelbeard leaned over the bowl with such enthusiasm that his hat almost fell in.
"That was amazing, your goldness. That's a whole pond full. No, that's a lake full of spit. Woo! It works. That's amazing. Hey, look at it. Sun reflected and everything. Let's hope it don't evaporate."
"Then stand where your shadow falls on it, fool!" snapped Nettlebrand. He spat again.
A puddle of green hit the hollowed-out cactus flesh. Gravelbeard added his bit. They kept spitting until even Nettlebrand's mouth was dry.
"Stand aside!" he hissed,
pushing the dwarf in the hot sand and peering with one red eye into the little pool they had made. For a moment, the green goo remained clouded, but then it suddenly shone like a mirror, and the dark figure of a raven appeared in the cactus flesh bowl.
"At last!"
called the raven, dropping the stone he had been holding in his beak.
"Where were you, master? I've thrown more stones into the sea than there are stars in the sky! You've got to get that brownie and eat her at once! Look at this!"
Indignantly, he raised his left wing, where the stone Sorrel had thrown at him still clung. Brownie saliva lasts a long time.
"Now don't make such a fuss," growled Nettlebrand. "And forget the brownie. Where's Twigleg? What was he doing when he eavesdropped on the genie? Had his ears plugged with raisins, did he? I haven't seen so much as the tip of a dragon's tail in this ghastly desert where he sent me."
The raven opened his beak, shut it, and opened it again.
"Desert? What desert?"
he called in surprise.
"What are you talking about, master? The silver dragon flew over the sea ages ago, taking Twigleg with him. At last, I saw them riding a sea serpent. Didn't he tell you about that?"
The raven shook his wing again accusingly.
"And the brownie cast her magic spell on me with a stone. That's what I've been trying to tell you. Twigleg didn't lift a finger to stop that little furry-faced brute.
Nettlebrand frowned. "Flew over the sea?" he grunted. The raven leaned forward a little way.
"Master!"
he said.
"Master! I don't have a very clear view of you! Master!"
Nettlebrand spat impatiently into the cactus bowl.
"That's better, yes!"
cried the raven.
I can see it better now!
"Over what sea?"
Nettlebrand shouted at him.
"You know the sea, master!"
cried the raven.
"You know the serpent, too! Remember the night of the full moon when you hunted the dragons as they swam? I'm sure that was one of the same serpents that thwarted you then!"
"Shut up!"
bellowed Nettlebrand. He was so angry he could have smashed the cactus bowl with one blow of his paw. Snorting, he dug his claws into the sand.
"No, I don't remember, and you better not either. Just go away now! I have to think!"
The startled raven retreated.
"Yes, but the brownie,"
he squawked in a small voice.
"What about the brownie?"
"Get out, I said!"
Nettlebrand roared. Straightening up and growling, he lashed the sand with his tail. "That stinking flea, that spidery monstrosity, that sharp-nosed bird brain, he actually dared to lie to me. Me!" Nettlebrand's eyes were blazing. "I'll trample him to death," he snarled at the desert sands.
"I'll crack him like a nut. No. I'll eat him alive the way I ate his brothers."
Opening his jaws, he roared so loud that Gravelbeard threw himself on the sand, trembling, and pulled his hat down over his ears.
"Up on my back, armor cleaner!" snapped Nettlebrand.
"Yes, your goldness here. Don't worry about me,"
stammered the dwarf. Weak at the knees, he ran to his master's tail and ran up it so fast that he almost lost his hat.
Are we going home at last, your goldness?
He asked.
Going home? We're going hunting. But first, you'll tell that treacherous spindly homunculus how I perished miserably in the desert.
You what?
Asked Gravelbeard, bewildered. I rusted up, you fool, Nettlebrand snapped. I rusted. I got sand caught everywhere. I was buried alive, all blocked up. Oh, I don't know. Invent any story you like. Only make it sound good. Make it sound so convincing that the little traitor, suspecting nothing, will jump for joy and lead us to our prey.
But, said Gravelbeard, gasping for breath as he hauled himself up on his master's gigantic head. How are you gonna, find him?
Leave that to me, replied Nettlebrand. I have a very good idea where the Silver Dragon was going, but now we need a nice big stretch of water for you to deliver your made-up story. And if you don't manage to make him believe every word of it, said Nettlebrand, his muzzle distorting into a terrible smile, then I shall eat you alive, dwarf.
Gravelbeard trembled nervously.
That would probably not really feel good.
Nettlebrand dipped a black claw in the puddle of spit and disappeared like one of those ghostly apparitions of the great desert. Only the prints of his mighty paws, together with Gravelbeard's feather duster, were left in the sand, but the desert wind soon covered them up forever.